are listening to Law and Gospel on KFUO Worldwide Radio on this August the 10th in the year of our Lord 2017. And being a Thursday, it's Rumination Thursday with our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. How are you doing, Wes?
I'm doing great. How are you, Pastor Baker?
As soon as I turn off my cell phone, I'm doing fine also.
Well, I can't do that.
Yeah. You know, I'm on the radio, and here my wife is calling me. No, it's not. It's somebody else. We'll get to them later. Yes, I really want to thank you. We were talking about early in the week what we needed to talk about, and you remarked about that there is an increase in suicides for girls and boys, and you've sent me some great items about that. Can you give a kind of a summary of the increase between what ages and such and how big it's become?
Right. Well, when we discussed that, I went out and got a kind of a sampling of articles that are out there. And in particular, I ran across the date back in 2008. They said the leading cause of suicide among 15 to 24-year-olds. The third leading cause was suicide. Number one was homicide. By the time 2011 comes around for teen suicide, suicides actually went over homicides. So it's becoming an increasing rate among them. The other article that you referred to was the one on girls. And it was pointing out that between 2007 and 2015, that they doubled in those same age ranges. So it's becoming quite an alarming rate.
In fact, it's actually tripled between girls age 12 to 14.
Yes, tripled.
Now, I can understand, or I don't like it, but one of the other great suicide rates in this country are soldiers returning from war.
War, yes. Yeah, we've got a real epidemic out there that we need to be aware of, especially as pastors in our churches.
Now, what I found interesting was, of course, they're going to say there is an increase. What I found interesting are the reasons why they said there was an increase in teenage suicides.
I did, too. Did you catch that one about smartphones, that they were one of the leading causes?
Yes, cell phones, because although you're talking to a lot of people, you're not really connecting to them because you're not with them. And you may put something out maybe on Twitter. You don't know how many people are coming back on it or listening to it. And I found it kind of interesting. They gave an example that in years ago, if you weren't invited to a party, that was kind of bad for 2 or 3 days, but then everybody kind of forgot about it. But today, at all the parties, they are taking video and all kinds of things they put on the various Facebook, the Twitter, the Snapchat, this sort of thing. And you're reminded again and again and again that you weren't invited.
Right. And I think another point that we need to bring out, which I found when I was up at Havana, you know, we would email back and forth the boards. And one of the elders brought out that we need to stop doing that and just sit down and meet, because we were miscommunicating, you know, in terms of what each other thought, and we just needed to sit down and talk it out.
Well, it all depends. I just was on a Concordia Mission Society call. You know, they're part of sponsoring this program. And we had people from all over the country. And we ended up having a great call. We added somebody to the board. Plus, we also are sending over $30,000 more to the Synod. Already this year, we sent $95,000. And it was a pretty good. Although at the end, one of the individuals said, I hope next time we can be face-to-face.
Right. Well, but there again, you were talking to one another.
Yes.
I'm referring to emails. It's so easy in writing out these emails to kind of communicate past each other.
Yeah, I have a policy that if somebody sends me an email with a theological question, I will not return, unless it's really easy, like, who was King David? But normally, I will email them back and ask for their phone number so I can call them at night, because I find it's impossible to answer theological questions by email. You may think it's a good answer. They'll say, well, it's a good answer, but it really wasn't what I was asking. So.
Well, and that brings us back to this whole smartphone with teams.
Yes.
Is that it's a little bit more impersonal through a phone, and things sometimes can be said and mistaken. So, you know, it's that need to sit down and do face-to-face.
Yes, in fact, it reads, smartphones and social media seem to create feelings of loneliness and may be contributing to the rise. Now, I don't have a problem with that in the sense of saying that you can be lonely because you're not able to get into the right group or this kind of thing, and it becomes more marked with smartphones and such. But what I found really interesting is how they think they can cure these problems, and I think they're going down a dead-end street.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that, too, the psychology and the psychosis of it. Not that, you know, there's a lot of good Christian psychologists and psychiatrists out there that I refer people to, but I'm not so sure about some of the things that they were talking about here.
Well, they say specifically that you need to seek professional help from a physician or a qualified mental health professional. Who are they missing out on?
No, most definitely they're missing out on their pastor.
Yes. Not once does religion become a help for people who are contemplating suicide.
Yeah. Did you catch the articles out of the... Were you able to look at those articles from Senate that I sent you?
No.
There was the Senate has put out on their website that one, the reason why we are God are His children, God's love, and then there's a Bible study that.
Oh, that was the one where 13 reasons why I committed suicide.
Yes, in relation to that Netflix series that was out there, and I thought the fellow did a fairly good job of answering how we look at it as Christians.
Yeah, one of the points you had made also earlier with me, millennials consider themselves religious, but data shows that overall millennials are moving towards secularism more so than older generations.
Right. It's that move away from God Himself.
And when they're talking about what they're looking for, they think that religious freedom is merely making a choice.
Mm.
But the article said, no, it means more than making a choice. It means practicing that faith, which I think is just as wrong.
Kind of reminds you in the Gospel of John where Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you.
Exactly. The gospel can help here, and I've been on a kick, since I did a little preaching here on it, where I'm using as a metaphor for false doctrine nightmares.
Yep.
And I've got two nightmares to share with you that I think is actually increasing the suicide rate. For example, and I'm not saying it happened in this case, but I could understand it, of followers of Rick Warren. Rick Warren, the purpose-driven life, he is teaching that you are not getting blessed because you are not obedient enough. Now, his son committed suicide. And I don't know if it had anything to do with him listening to his father talk like that. But can you imagine looking at your children and saying, you know, you're not going to be blessed by me until you become more obedient?
Mm-hmm. And what do you do the next day?
Exactly. To me, that's a nightmare for a child to hear that. It's like saying one of the worst things you can say to a child, I wish you had never been born.
That's right. I mean,
Now, I'm not sure. He may have had a disease or maybe other reasons, but Rick Warren is talking to a lot of families, and they're listening to him, and believe it or not, they're believing this nonsense, that they don't get blessed by God. This, to me, would result in depression.
Oh. Well, that's why I refer to this one, God's love, the reason why we are his children, that was put out by the Senate. They point out that God loves you. He knows every one of your sins. He knows your faults, your failures. You know, and that just fits so well into that parable that we've been discussing from Matthew 13, where the man goes out and finds a field, and in the field finds a treasure, and hides it, and then sells everything so that he can possess that field and that treasure. And as we pointed out, that's Jesus who's given up everything for us, and the treasure is us.
I've got another example of a nightmarish teaching. Ooh. I was listening to a pastor, not Lutheran, and normally I'd say 90% of what he says is pretty good about Jesus and some of the text and such. But he was talking about that he had just done a funeral for the suicide of one of these young teenagers. Mm. And the question was asked him, why are you doing a funeral for someone who committed suicide? And you know what he said? He said, you know, I know she had been a believer, and God never leaves a believer. And therefore, we know she's in heaven. That's that teaching from Calvin. It's part of TULIP. Once saved,
always saved.
Yes. Mm. Now, I'll tell you this. That is horrendous teaching. Because here is a teenager, and they're really going through depression and this kind of thing. Then they hear from their pastor, well, one way to get out of it is by committing suicide, because if you were a Christian, you can never fall away from that.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, too, we got to keep in mind is we know that it can happen under many circumstances, that some of them, like medication, you know, you might be taking a medication, and they've been known to give suicidal thoughts to, you know. There's things like that we have to be careful about.
Well, no, I'm not talking about where there is a medical reason for suicide. I'm talking about somebody who commits suicide because they're just depressed and whatever reason. I'm almost sure, and there are suicides I have refused to do funerals for because there's no assurance they're in heaven.
Mm. And that really is hard on the family.
Well, that's why a suicide is one of the most selfish actions a person can take. It's always out of self-interest. It's never out of love for parents, except in those cases you're talking about. There was this girl who was slipped a drug in her drink at a party, and she thought she could fly, and jumped out of a third-story window and fell to her death. Now, that was considered a suicide because nobody pushed or anything, but we would bury her because she was not of her right mind due to a medical condition.
It really, you know, if you notice, I keep jumping back into the scriptures. It's so important for us as pastors, as lay people, is to point out that that they are loved and that they are cared for, and that love is found grounded in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Before our program, we always listen to By the Way. And you know what his point was today?
What's that?
He asked, have you ever gone into severe depression? And he says, not that many people do. But then what did he point to as a way out of that severe depression is turning to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. Something we did not find in any of the articles that you sent to me.
Right. And, you know, it was just this last week, I quoted from 2 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession.
Yep, yep.
You know, through Christ, we're valued, we're royalty, we're precious in His sight.
For example, one of the other examples that was in this, there was this girl who was teased for being a Muslim. And she says she spent years letting the bullies feed her inner demons of anxiety and depression, and she was ready, you know, to commit suicide. Now, she didn't do it because even though she attempted it, it failed. The point I would be making there, have you ever heard of anyone who is being accused of being a Christian decided to do suicide?
No, I kind of say I never have.
And I can understand why a Muslim would feel that way, because in Islamic teaching, if you're being bullied again and again and you have anxiety and depression, you really lose any idea that Allah is taking care of you, because he's not, because she's living a nightmare of believing in an idol. And that's why it doesn't surprise me at all that she gets depressed.
Right. And probably one of the other factors is this work righteousness. I can work my way somehow out of this, or work my way to heaven or God's favor, which is so prevalent in that religion.
Yes. Work righteousness is really the worst nightmare. When I'm talking about nightmares, you have two kinds of nightmares. The one, it's really terrifying. You wake up and you're so happy it's not true. The other one, you have a dream that you won the lottery. You wake up and you're so unhappy that it wasn't true. Well, that's the same in theology. A theology that teaches you're saved by your works is a nightmare, because it scares people that they really aren't sure they're going to be saved. And that's where Jesus comes in, where he has assurance of promises. But a lot of the nightmares that false teaching does is kind of like what I just mentioned earlier, where pastors are saying, well, we're going to bury the suicides because if they were Christian, once saved, always saved. And it reminds me of Jeremiah 23. You know what one of the items the false prophets were telling Israel, in light of the possibility of the Babylonian captivity, that everything will be well with you.
Okay.
No disaster shall occur. That is false teaching.
You know, the other thought that I had was, what about Romans 8? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Isn't a passage like that something that teaches us that God breaks through these walls of loneliness?
Yes. In fact, in one of the articles, I really thought this question is correct, except their remedy was incorrect. They say something is getting lost, and psychology experts have surmised that what is getting lost, at least to suicide, is a feeling of closeness or comfort.
Comfort, yeah.
Okay, what's the goal of every sermon?
Comfort.
Yes. Yeah, the law accuses us of not being able to meet the criteria that God expects us to get to heaven. The comfort is that God meets it for us.
Right. Well, and that was, you know, last Sunday, that was one of my points, was that having a bad day, you know, went through a whole list of things that we go through during the week, but there's nothing that separates us from that love of God. God breaks through that He breaks through it through Christ, who's died upon the cross for us.
Yes. Now, for parents who have had children that committed suicide, as I said, there are times I will not do a Christian funeral because I'm not a pastor of the private ministry. I can't read anybody's heart. I'm a pastor of the public ministry. And therefore, if a person has done things that show they no longer believe in Jesus Christ, and it's not a medical condition or something like that or health, then I won't do it. But I also won't say to the parents, I know for certain that person is in hell. Because yeah, only God can read the heart at the time of death.
Right. No, I would absolutely agree with you. And I think the necessity is to try and bring them some comfort in the midst of what they're facing.
Yes, I've often thought, and I've never had this experience, I don't know if you have had, Wes, where there's a shooting at a public school and then they bring in these mental health professionals. I'm trying to figure out if I was sent in there. First of all, you're not allowed to talk about Jesus.
Oh.
What would you tell these kids?
Jesus.
Well, no, you're not allowed that.
I guess I wouldn't be allowed in then.
No, we sure wouldn't be because mental health gymnastics, I mean, what do they get them? It's kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous, that they have somebody they can depend on, and then when they go into alcoholism or drinking, they can phone them and get help to stop. But that's really not dealing with the real issue.
Well, I think we're also talking about, are these sins forgivable?
Yes. Yeah, any sin is forgivable, but there is one that isn't, and that's the denial of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And there's not those many people who commit suicide in the Bible. But if anybody thinks that Judas went to heaven, then they don't understand Jesus' words. It would have been better had he never been born.
Born. You know the other two that are in the Bible?
Well, Saul.
Yep.
And?
His sword bearer.
Yes. He committed suicide after he saw what had happened.
Right.
Now, I've got questions. In the Old West, the Indians are coming, and a father would kill his wife and children rather than let them get captured and tortured, and then he would shoot himself. I'm not going to make a decision as to whether that sends him to hell or not.
No, I couldn't either. You know, there's a lot of tough issues and questions, and I'm glad that we took the time to talk about it and, you know, I point them out to that Bible study that's on the Senate's website.
Yeah, that would be good.
Faith, hope, and love, the threefold response to 13 reasons why. That answers Netflix. Because in that study, they talk about baptismal life,
yep,
the Lord's Supper, and the Word itself. But they connect it all in God's love, because it is concrete, it's evident. And Jesus going the way of the cross for us.
Yes, what's the fastest growing religious group in the United States right now? What do we call them? At first, when you hear it, it sounds like you're talking about Roman Catholic women.
Yeah, the nuns.
The nuns, but it's spelled N-O-N-E-S.
Yes, yeah.
These are individuals for whom the church no longer is meaningful. And I'll tell you, as I listen to other radio stations and hear sermons like that one on suicide, that isn't meaningful to me because it's not biblical.
Right. Yeah, somehow we've always got to bring them back to Christ. What Christ has done for us in baptism, in the supper, these are concrete ways that God has shown his love towards us.
Yes. You know, there's more that are in these articles. In fact, I have one point that it's too long to get into right now, but I'm going to probably start tomorrow's program. And tomorrow's program is an open mic Friday, which means you can ask any question about anything today or yesterday. In between calls, I'm going to continue on this metaphor of nightmares. Because what a nightmare is, in reality, is not true, whether it's a negative nightmare or a positive nightmare. And the many people who are belonging to other religions outside of Christianity, the only reason they are belonging is the point you made earlier. They really believe that they can be saved by their works, and they think their works are good enough.
Right. I think it's so important to remind that God's called us to faith, to believe in Him. And it's not about how many works that we can that merit His love.
Well, these people are looking for love. What is the gospel in a nutshell?
Well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life.
And it doesn't say, for God so loved the Lutherans. It doesn't even say, for God so loved the Christians. It says, for God so loved the world. There isn't another religion where that love is unconditionally given even unbelievers. For example, I'm out there at Trinity Orchard Farm, and we have fields all around us. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or an unbeliever. The rain falls on both fields.
Right. It's unconditional love.
Yes. So God is taking care even of unbelievers. And once you become a Christian, then there are promises of assurance and promises of blessings that you cannot find outside of the Christian church.
And there's nothing that will separate us from His love.
That's right. Where are you preaching Sunday?
I'm up at Havana this weekend again. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He walks on water and that Joel passage about blaming God.
Oh, that's right. That's good. Yes. Yeah, the walking on water. I don't think I have very good faith because I had a swimming pool. I went to walk on it, and I fell in, too.
Well, I looked for the stones myself.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Wes Reimnitz. I'm Tom Baker. Hopefully, we'll be back next Thursday. Although, maybe not hopefully. It'd be good if Judgment Day comes, and then we're all in heaven there instead as believers. But Havana for Pastor Wes Reimnitz is Sunday, myself, Trinity Orchard Farm. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday and gives you an opportunity to call in on any question. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.